Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to this Friday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and we are at the conclusion of the whole thing. No, not history and the end of the age, although that's what we've been talking about. Derek has been teaching us for several weeks on facing the future. It's been a wonderful ride. He's been talking to us about the attitude towards the future we ought to have, the confidence, the orientation to God's purposes. We've touched on so many topics, and if you've missed any of them, you can log on to the website at derekprince.org and hear all of these teachings. We've talked about Israel and how Israel is critical to God's prophetic time clock for this age. We've talked about the restoration of the bride and how repentance is necessary for the church today as the church prepares herself. We've talked about aligning ourselves with God's purposes and how God is leading us in this generation in triumphal fulfillment. We're also talking about how the fact that there are pressures and problems building up at the end of the age is not only something that God predicted and prophesied in Scripture, but it's something that ought to be a sign of good to us in the sense that God is bringing things to a fulfillment. It really has been a marvelous teaching, and like I say, if you've missed any of it, be sure and get it. By the way, I also want to mention right here that there's a booklet that we've been offering that goes along with these same themes. It's called Surviving the Last Days, and it's on these themes. It'll embed these truths even more deeply in your life. You can get it at 1-800-448-3261, or you can log on to the website at derekprince.org. Now, this is the last day of this wonderful series called Facing the Future, and so let's get a pen, get a pad, be ready to take notes as Derek talks to us one more time in this series about the future and our orientation to it.
Yesterday, I dealt with God's program to bring the church into unity. In my talk today, I'm going to focus on God's second main objective for the church, outreach. In earlier talks on this theme, I've spoken about the specific and distinctive sign of the end of the age that relates to the church, namely, the outpouring of the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. You'll remember that we saw that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church is symbolized in biblical prophecy by the fall of rain upon the land of Israel. Just as the rain in Israel comes in two main outpourings, the first rain at the beginning of winter and the last rain at the end of winter, so, historically, the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the church in two main visitations, the first rain upon the church of the New Testament and the last rain upon the church at the close of the age. And it's my personal conviction that we are living in the time of the latter rain, that the present worldwide visitation of the Holy Spirit upon the church is the fulfillment of that prophecy of Joel that God would send his people both the first and the latter rain. Now, this first comparison between the natural rain and the spiritual rain leads directly to a second comparison between the purposes for which each type of rain is given. In each case, the end purpose of the rain in God's economy is the harvest. This is stated almost everywhere in the Bible that God speaks about giving his people rain. It's directly linked with the harvest. So in the case of the natural rain, logically, it's a natural harvest, the ingathering of the grain from the earth. But in the case of the spiritual rain, equally logically, it's a spiritual harvest. What is that harvest? It's the ingathering not of grain, but of the souls of men from the harvest that is now ripening all over the fields of the earth. A great final ingathering of souls into the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And as the rain does its work, so the soil of the world is prepared for this last great ingathering, this final harvest. You see, there are two important lessons there for us. Both the early and the latter rain are necessary for the harvest. As that is true in the natural, so it is true in the spiritual. The final great ingathering of souls into the kingdom of God cannot take place until we've had the full outpouring of the latter rain of the Holy Spirit upon the church all over the earth. And then the second important truth is that the latter rain immediately precedes the Lord's return. In those verses in James 5, verses 7 and 8, James both begins and closes with the theme of the Lord's return. He says, "Be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord." And then he says at the end, "You too be patient, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." In other words, in the program of God, it requires both the first rain on the early church, the last rain on the church at the close of the age, to prepare the harvest, and the coming of the Lord is related to the time of the harvest. Jesus says this himself in a number of parables. For instance, in one parable in Matthew 13, verse 39, Jesus says this, "The harvest is the end of the age." See, there's so many different scriptures that all point to this same conclusion. The first rain on the early church, the last rain on the church at the close of the age, then the harvest, the great ingathering of souls into the kingdom of God, and in the time of the harvest, the return of the Lord. That's why God gives the rain, because without the rain, the harvest cannot be gathered. True in the natural, true in the spiritual. Why is God then pouring out the Holy Spirit upon the whole church now in fulfillment of prophecy? Because he's reserved to us the appointed weeks of the harvest. To me, that's a most urgent message. The harvest is never a lengthy period in any land. It's just a brief period. Any farmer knows anywhere in the world when the harvest is ripe, you either gather it or you lose it. It's just a few brief weeks. God has reserved those weeks for the church in the earth today that the harvest may be gathered in. It's a matter of tremendous urgency. It's so essential that our eyes be opened and we see the provision and the program of God and align ourselves with his purpose. Now I'm going to take this theme of the harvest just a little further and give it a very practical kind of application to the situation in our world today.
You know, Derek is not exaggerating this whole issue of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our generation. In the last 100 years, there has been a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the church worldwide than in any other time in church history. And that's why the gospel has gone so far, penetrated so many cultures. And if that is, as Derek says, a sign of the end, a sign of the great days to come, we truly are living in days of destiny. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
As chaos spreads around the world, one thing is clear. Israel, and Jerusalem in particular, is increasingly the focal point of controversy, uncertainty, and strife on earth. Each day, a wave of anti-Semitism sweeps many parts of the world. You need to know what all this means, and more importantly, what you should do to be prepared. These are some of the reasons Derek Prince Ministries has released a new booklet by Derek Prince called Surviving the Last Days. This powerful little book explains how we should live in these last days. That is why we want you to have a copy free and postage paid. Call toll-free 800-448-3261 to order your free copy of Surviving the Last Days, 800-448-3261. In Canada, 888-737-0771. Prepare for the days ahead. 800-448-3261. The call and the booklet are both free. 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and today on this Friday, we're at the end of a 2-week-long series on Facing the Future with Derek Prince. I don't even want to rant on here. This is such powerful stuff. I want to get right to it as Derek talks to us about facing the future.
Now, I'm going to take this theme of the harvest just a little further and give it a very practical kind of application to the situation in our world today. Suppose in the midst of this population explosion, with all the facilities of travel and communication at our disposal, there was a tremendous spiritual explosion in the church. This Holy Spirit was restored in his power and glory and fullness. The church became united, was equipped by the ministries, was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then in the purposes of God was thrust out with this spiritual equipment and with this vision into the ripened harvest fields of this tremendous population that's in the world today, what would be the result? I'll tell you what I believe the result will be. I believe it's very practical to estimate that in a period of 5 or 10 years, in those conditions, more souls would be gathered into the kingdom of God than have been gathered into the kingdom since Jesus died and rose from the dead. And you know what I believe that will be? Just what the Bible says it will be. It will be the harvest. It'll be the end of the age. It'll be the objective and the fulfillment of God's purposes. And you and I, who belong to Jesus Christ at this time, are obligated to see God's purposes and fulfill them. The book of Proverbs says, "A son who sleeps in harvest causes his father shame." My prayer is that neither you nor I may be sons of God that sleep in the harvest and cause our father shame. May we be awake to what God is saying and doing in our world today. So seldom do God's people seem to realize that really the initiative is with us. It's not with the world. It's not with the politicians or the scientists or the military commanders. The initiative is with God's people, the church. I want to go back to a passage that we looked at earlier in this series of talks, Matthew chapter 24, which is the prophetic discourse that Jesus gave seated on the Mount of Olives overlooking the temple area, in which he gave a preview of the main events and trends that would mark the close of this age. First of all, I want to look at the question asked by the disciples which prompted the answer that Jesus gave. This question is stated in Matthew 24, verse 3. The disciples came to Jesus privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen?" That's the destruction of the temple. "And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" The disciples, being religious Jews, couldn't conceive that the temple would be destroyed without the age coming to a close. Of course, they were mistaken. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. The age has continued for nearly 2,000 years longer. Let's leave out then the destruction of the temple, and let's come to the latter part of their question. What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Notice, the question was singular, not what will be the signs of your coming, but what will be the distinctive sure sign of your coming and of the end of the age. In the next 10 verses, Jesus gives many signs, but not the sign. He speaks about international wars, famines, earthquakes, pestilences, persecution of Christians, apostasy and betrayal amongst Christians, false prophets and cults, abounding lawlessness leading to lovelessness. That's a kind of brief summary of those 10 verses. He's given many signs, but he has not given the sign. But he does do it. If we read on just a little further, Jesus answers that specific question with a specific answer. Matthew 24:14. "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." That's very clear. A specific question, a specific answer. What will be the sign of your coming? The answer, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." When will the end come? The end will not be provoked by the activity of evil, by the forces of Satan, even by human conflict. All this has got a part. But the decisive factor is the preaching of this gospel of the kingdom in the whole world to all nations. When that has been done, the end will come. Do you believe that there's a specific day appointed for the return of Jesus? Well, let me say I do. But I also believe that certain things must happen first. And I don't know the day. Nobody knows the day. We don't know all that must happen. But nevertheless, certain things must happen. How do we reconcile these two things? Through the absolute foreknowledge of God. God knows when these things will have happened, and he's appointed the day in the light of his foreknowledge. Let me say again, the initiative in world affairs to bring this age to its close is not with the people of this world, it's with the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church is God's representative, the body of Jesus Christ in the earth, and God will never allow the initiative to pass into other hands while the Church is here as the representative of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me take you back to the commission of Jesus Christ to his disciples, as it's given in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. "Then Jesus came to them," the disciples, "and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. There's one very important word there. It's the word therefore.
You know, we're always talking about the signs of the end of the times, and people read books and study programs all about the great things that are going to happen in Antichrist and 666, but we forget that the Bible says that what's going to be a sign of the approach of the kingdom is that the gospel is preached to all nations. And I really want to emphasize this, that as Derek has, that we can focus on all of the exciting political upheavals and technologies and computers and things of that nature, but the greatest sign of the end of the age, the thing that must happen before he returns, is that the gospel is preached to the whole world. What a privilege to live in a generation where that may in fact become reality. There's so much more to come. As Derek Prince, Legacy Radio continues.
Government leaders and policies can greatly affect God's people and their ability to carry out the Great Commission. But what can one believer do? Can a single saint change the course of history? Derek Prince says, yes. Few Bible teachers in modern times have had a deeper understanding of how prayer and fasting work together to change circumstances than did Derek Prince. That is why one of Derek's most consistently influential books is Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. As you read through its pages, you'll discover the little taught secrets of moving mountains that have inspired and influenced countless other Bible teachers and intercessors. With it, you can become a history shaper. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. To order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting for only $12.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince had a deep and biblical understanding of the power of prayer. He saw firsthand how God will partner with willing believers. Discover how the same keys that move princes and presidents will also bring God's perfect will into your life. Order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. And now, in these next few moments, it all comes to an end. No, not history, but the end of this amazing two-week-long series that we've been listening to on Facing the Future. Let's get to it. Derek Prince talking about facing the future.
We must never miss out the word therefore when we find it in the Scripture. Probably some of you have heard me say before, when you find a therefore in the Bible, you need to ask what it's there for. Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me, therefore go. Why the therefore? I understand it this way. The authority was given by God the Father to Jesus the Son after his death and resurrection, and Jesus in turn here transmits the authority to his disciples. So he says, all authority was given to me, now you go and exercise that authority on my behalf. The authority is vested in my name. As you go in my name, you have my authority. And you see, it's very important to understand that authority is effective only when it's exercised. A man may have authority and never use it, and no one would even know that he had that authority. And so it is with the authority of Jesus Christ. It's committed to us, but it's effective only when we exercise it. The only way the world will know the authority that's been committed to Jesus Christ as a result of his death and resurrection is when we, his disciples, exercise it on his behalf. Otherwise, the world is left in ignorance of what Jesus has actually accomplished. The world doesn't know that the Father has committed all authority to the Son. Only through our obedience to Jesus' commission can the world ever be brought face to face with this fact that there is a King, a King of kings and a Lord of lords, and his name is Jesus, and all authority is vested unto him. We're responsible to demonstrate this to the world. And as we go in obedience to the command of Jesus and bring his message, he will confirm it with the supernatural signs that he's promised and attest his own authority in the word that he's committed to us. And then there's another reason, I believe, why he says, all authority is given to me, go therefore. Because there are many places that it's very difficult to go. There are governments in the earth that resist and even refuse the preaching of the gospel. There are many, quote, closed doors today. But Jesus says, if you go and obey me, remember, I have the authority. If you'll talk to me about it, I'll open those closed doors. I'll make a way where there is no way. If you're determined to obey me, I'll make it possible to obey me. Let me say in closing this picture of the world as it comes to its close. Safety and success for the church lies in bold, positive outreach, not in getting frightened, not in just looking for survival, not in hiding somewhere in a cave with some hoarded groceries. That's not the way to survival. It's not the way to success. The way to safety and success is bold, positive outreach in obedience to the Lord.
You know, I'm moved as we come to the end of this teaching that Derek has been doing these 2 weeks on facing the future, that we end our series in Advent season. Now, some of you who are from churches that don't necessarily focus on the church calendar and liturgy may not know what I'm talking about, but Advent essentially are the Sundays leading up to Christmas in which the church historically has prepared itself for Christ to be formed in us afresh. Christmas throughout the history of the church was not just viewed as a celebration of the Christ in the first century, but it was also viewed as a time for welcoming afresh a birth of the Christ in our hearts. And that is really the ultimate focus of everything Derek's been talking about. He's talked about Israel, and he's talked about future events, and he's talked about violence and upheaval and all types of things like that. But the beauty of the biblical truth about prophecy and about future orientation is that it always comes back to an ethical and relational obligation to the individual. And that's the thing I want to focus on now. You know, the reality is that we are made for a relationship with Jesus. And I hope that you won't get caught up in an end time kind of preoccupation that focuses on the rapture and the second coming and who the Antichrist is and things like that. And do that to an exclusion of the fact that always we're repenting of our sins. Always we're seeking to have Christ formed in us afresh. Always we're seeking, as Derek says, to align ourselves with God's will. The beauty of biblical prophecy is that it's not just intended to be wowie-zowie stuff about the future. It's not intended to be science fiction done from the Bible. Instead, it's intended to challenge us to live differently. And in this Christmas season, this Advent season, I want to urge you to take what Derek has been pouring into our lives from the Scriptures. And I want to urge you to take time aside to pray. I know it's busy. We got things to cook and presents to buy and houses to decorate and trips to plan. And I'm thankful for all of that. I love Christmas. I'm sentimental about Christmas. I watch It's a Wonderful Life 9 or 10 times and cry every time the angel gets his wings. But the fact is that this is a great time for us to do exactly what we've been urged to do in this series. And that is prepare our hearts for a fresh work of the Holy Spirit, for a fresh birth of the Christ within us. Now, I want to be sure and tell you that in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to have two very special friends joining me here on the show. First, Phil Kagi, legendary guitar player, legendary Christian musician, father to much that is Christian music today, will be here talking about his connection to Derek Prince and the way that Derek influenced his life and then what's happened in Phil's life since. And then one of my dear friends, a man by the name of Ben Pearson, an award-winning photographer, videographer, documentary maker. If you don't know his name, you've certainly seen his work, and we're going to be talking about that over the coming weeks. Fantastic interviews. I'm so moved by what they talked about, and I think you will be too. I want to mention one more time, just very quickly, that Derek Prince Ministries is offering a booklet that you need to get. We're so thrilled to offer it to you, called Surviving the Last Days, and you can get that by calling 1-800-448-3261 or logging on to DerekPrince.org. For all of us here at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Have a great weekend and join us again on Monday as the legacy continues.
Take a moment now to get your free copy of Derek's insightful booklet, Surviving the Last Days. It's yours free and postage paid when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to order your copy of Derek's book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, for only $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.